Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith & Sniff. It's a podcast in which two friends talk about cars and many other things.
I've just heard that Tiger Woods is coming back to play golf after crashing that car massively.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Crashing his Genesis, wasn't it?
Was it? I was going to ask you. I think it was a Genesis. Was it like a sponsored event car, like a
yes, I think so. Yeah. I don't know that it had this high quality motor car from Genesis Motors of South Korea. It's driven by Tiger Woods of golf down the side, but
I love those things. I love those.
When I was growing up, there was a footballer called Asa Hartford who football fans probably know. He played for Man City, and
I knew that.
This was in the 80s, so it was before footballers, I guess, got massive salaries and lived in McMansions. He lived in a perfectly nice sort of 3 or 4 bedroom detached house in a leafy suburb. And he had at one point, I remember he had a Peugeot 309, but it had Asa Hartford drives this quality Peugeot from Tom Garner of Manchester down the doors.
Oh, it actually has his full name.
That was the price. Yeah, that was the price of getting a free car. I think he had to have the stickers down the sides.
I wonder if anyone owns any of those cars that were driven by, I don't know, rugby stars of a local region or cricketers of a local region. There was a lot of Jags given out to cricketers from memory.
Were there?
Yeah, I think so. A lot of X-types, I think.
I
think that someone listening to this will know someone that might have bought an ex-cricketer spec X-type Jag.
Can you tell? Because it's got white leather seats, but then there's just a bit where there's loads of red been rubbed on it. What have you been doing here? Sorry, cricketer, mate.
It's funny that my Honda Insight was an ex-demonstrator car, and you only see it when it's pitch dark on the drive and the security light comes on, right? And because they're quite bright white LEDs, I think quite critical light.
Yeah.
You can see slight discoloration across the bonnet where there was a decal when it was in a showroom that says something like the world's first hybrid or over 100 mpg with a little asterisk next to it in big, and it's really slightly discoloured the paintwork from UV, yeah. But you can't tell in normal daylight.
That's funny because my Nissan Leaf was an ex-demo car, and I was washing it one day. I went, "What's this on the bonnet?" And it was sticker residue, and you could see if you sort of crouched down where it sort of just said something like the new 100% electric Nissan Leaf.
That's right.
Go electric today.
Kind
of
nonsense
all over it. But you could just see it in the right light.
Yeah.
Your security light would have probably brought it out a treat. But
my security light.
Wonder if anyone has unwittingly bought a car that was once stickered up and they didn't know. But not police. Obviously, police is a whole different thing.
Police, different saga. Different saga. Talking
white, about ex-police, no sunroof.
I realised the whole Tiger Woods thing coming back from this wreck, which happened April last year, so a year ago, or to the day.
Well, nearest damn
it, I guess.
He was
doing double the speed limit.
Was he?
He was doing double the speed limit, and he left the road. Apparently, there was no evidence that he was impaired by drugs or alcohol, which is nice. But then it occurred to me that that's not his first big off. He had another massive off in 2017 where he was arrested for driving under the influence when he was found asleep at the wheel. And
oh
he
God.
Later pleaded guilty to reckless driving. Yeah. Oh, hang on.
Jeez.
No. On top of that, he was involved in the car crash, obviously the most notorious one, in 2009, which was to do with his breakdown of his marriage and infidelity. Do you remember?
Is this the one where he was speeding away from his own house?
Yes, and he kind
of... it was alleged that perhaps there were some golf club-shaped dents and smashes in the car because perhaps his wife had enraged.
I think that...
Allegedly.
Yeah, he probably had a pair of trousers only half on, so only one leg was on.
And was there a naked woman wrapped in a duvet running off down the street?
In the other way. Yeah, wasn't
because,
it? Didn't
because
he, like,
in fact,
roll...
Tiger Woods' life is very much like an episode of Terry and June. Although I don't think that ever happened to Terry G. What am I thinking of? Confessions of a Window Cleaner probably is closer to
it. Yeah, Confessions. Or Last of the Summer Wine with Howard and Marina. Who just, honestly, I just wish I didn't know anything about Last of the Summer Wine. What an absolute tragedy.
I would like to watch an episode of Last of the Summer Wine again because it was very long running.
Oh, and unbelievably long running.
I sort of wonder if... I mean, I do remember watching it because my dad used to like it.
Yeah, my mum used to like it.
I sort of go... I wonder if it was really funny, and we just our memory of it is coloured because we only ever think of three silly old men in a bathtub sort of rolling off down a hill, which I'm not sure ever actually happened in that show. But it was a lot more than that, although I don't know what, and I sort of feel like I need to go back and revisit it. And also, it ran for what, 30 years?
Oh, it must have been. I mean, they were all
started in the early
ancient.
70s, didn't it?
Yeah.
Well, they had a sort of... Peter Salas was in it from all of them, I think. But was the guy who played Compo, I think, died?
He died.
Didn't his son come in? And then the other guy who was Foggy, sometimes he wasn't Foggy, he was somebody else.
Yes, that's correct. If you're a listener to this podcast and you're not native to Britain, this will mean nothing to you.
What the bloody hell are they talking about?
It's just a sort of soft, pillowy Yorkshire sitcom off of 70s. Yeah. Which ran forever.
Like, just one bar of the theme tune would immediately cause some... Like, I would regress to being about eight, and I would believe in my head, no matter what time it was, was Sunday evening.
Yes. Yeah, and you've
and
just...
the curtains are drawn.
You've just had a bath and a hair wash.
Yes.
And it's so true.
And it's quite cosy. The heating's on. It's winter. The curtains are all closed. Yes. The heating's on. It's quite cosy, but the spectre of Monday is coming.
It's really cosy, but my dad's still got the entire front end of the car dismantled on the dining room table, and it's pitch dark, and he knows he's running out of time before 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. Bob, it's got to be back on the road. Bob, it has to function. Yes, I know, Sue. I know.
Your parents called Bob and Sue?
Yeah, or Sob and Boo, as my brother used to call them. Yeah. In fact...
There was that film, Bob, talking of men with their trousers half on. There was that film, Rita, Sue and Bob too.
I know. My mates constantly refer to my parents as... Bob, Sue and Rita, even though there isn't a Rita in my family, I don't think.
Had a Rover SD-1 in it,
yes,
film,
it did.
I seem to remember.
It did, yeah, 80s penetration film, yeah, with a Rover SD-1, brilliant.
I don't think it was very smutty, was it? It was a bit suggestive.
It was suggestive.
I think there might have been, like... A bloke's ass going up and down through the window of the SD-1, but I don't remember it being sort of, you know, it wasn't Basic Instinct.
No, it was no more suggestive than Last of the Summer Wine, frankly. It's just a lot less harmonica, I would say. There's a lot of harmonica in the incidental music, isn't there? It's a bit like...
Yes.
A bit
is
like
it
what
harmonica?
It sounds like a mouth organ of some sort.
I wondered if it was a... Yeah,
what do you
I, but
think
I wondered
is?
If it was a... Oh, bloody hell.
A wind-powered organ.
They've got a little keyboard on it, and a thing, a squeeze box.
An accordion?
Accordion.
Oh. Oh, yeah, maybe it is an accordion.
Is it, though? I don't know.
Well, that's...
Is that... Now, I think Last of the Summer Wine would be... the music would be a prime example of the Ronnie Hazelhurst oeuvre, wouldn't it?
Gosh, Rich,
tunes in the 80s. He was the BBC's go-to guy, the Ronnie Hazelhurst Orchestra. They did a lot of that stuff.
I remember the theme tune sort of, to me, signified boredom. You know, and things, certain things are just a natural trigger to like, oh, frig, this is going to be really dull. And
I was saying to my brother last night, I went to the pub with my brother last night because he's down this week, and I said, I try my hardest never to say to my children, you don't know how lucky you are. You're able to stream any programme you want instantly. In our day, we had to just watch what was on the telly. And I never said that to them, and I always tried to resist the urge to do it because it's such a dad thing to say.
It's very dad.
Quite honestly, what can they do with that information except go, we only know the world as we find it, which is not having to watch Last of the Summer Wine because there's nowt else on and your parents want to watch it and you only got one telly. Which,
yeah, it's true. You can't, but on demand is so much easier because it takes away the excitement and the urgency of watching a programme in real time, doesn't it?
Yes. I think. Oh, I've missed the beginning.
Oh.
Or, latterly, oh, the video hasn't recorded the end.
Oh, of course. So you never know what happened.
Yeah,
that's annoying.
Well, probably
isn't it?
They rolled down a hillside on some kind of homemade contraption.
Oh, if it was,
if the popular
was,
imagination is to be believed.
Yeah, that's right. Tiger Woods' last crash. So now he's a triple crasher, which is much more crashy than I thought he was. According to the LAPD chap who said the car's so-called black box data recorder showed that Woods engaged the accelerator and never applied the brake during the incident. That could indicate...
What, is this the most recent one?
Yeah. That could indicate he may have mistakenly hit the wrong pedal whilst trying to control the car. This guy's a 15-time world golf champion. I reckon he knows the difference in an auto between brake and throttle. I reckon.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you?
I mean, come on, he's a soft touch. You've got to be with golf, haven't you?
Have you a soft touch?
When I say soft touch,
in what sense?
Well, you've got to know exactly how hard or soft to strike the ball. Sometimes it's just a little tap, you know, for a long putt, for example.
Yeah.
I sound like I know what I'm bloody talking about. Go for the long.
I was going to say I didn't realise you were such a golf connoisseur.
I've never played golf. In my life.
At all?
No, never.
Ever?
Never.
What
never.
About pitch and putt?
Oh, I've played bitch and slut every time. I love a bitch and slut, but that's
okay,
not
well,
golf.
There we go. And crazy golf. I know you've played crazy golf because you told me that you enraged Tiff by making him play crazy golf.
Oh, I did. Yeah. That
late. So you have sort of played golf. You've just never played, like, full-sized golf.
I'd like to try it, but because I found, being left-handed, you can never borrow anyone's clubs because not many people have left-handed clubs. And so it's almost a bit of a non-starter. Probably a bit more.
Well, I've sort of played golf, and I've obviously done pitch and putt, but you just play righty, don't you? You've got to just play.
I'm not playing to those rules, Richard.
That's what makes us left-handers superior, is that our coordination with our non-dominant hand is better than that displayed by right-handers because we live in a right-handed world.
Because we've had to adapt, yeah.
Yeah, we are. So that's what makes us superior beings. Anyway,
on that
Tiger Woods is. So it's. Are you a Tiger Woods fan then? Is this what you're?
I think
he's a fan of his driving, which sounds like it's pretty.
No,
appalling.
I'm not a massive fan of his driving. It actually reminded me of the fact that I think a few years ago Morgan Freeman had a bit of a freeway incident involving car being upside down and him being injured. I think that involved perhaps lady situations, but I'm a fan of Tiger Woods in so much as I think I'm a fan of anyone that's incredibly good at their craft. But not only that, I think it's even more impressive that someone can kind of lose the plot a bit, go off a bit and get written off as being a has-been. And then come back brighter, stronger to just prove the world otherwise. I think that is always really, really impressive because you've got to dig deep in a situation like that. It doesn't matter how much money you've got. It's about, I don't know, pride and determination, isn't it? So for that, the Woods gets my vote. He's also a child prodigy, wasn't he? He was a sort of golf child prodigy. So
I don't know, actually.
He was playing high-level golf when he was about seven.
I guess, like any sport these days, the standard is so high, and they always talk in sports about marginal gains.
And I've met him.
One of those might be if you still marginal gains.
Of course, he's an American athlete.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, is he?
Yeah,
I thought he was the North American PR man for Honda or something.
Oh.
Hi, marginal gains. The marginal gains thing is like if you started golfing when you were six and your nearest rival started when they were seven, it's like you've got a year up on them to just hone your skills. Like, you know, F1 drivers now start when they're born, don't they, pretty much, I think.
When do they start karting? The four?
Oh, like four or five, yeah. I think Fernando Alonso, I interviewed him once, and he claimed he started karting when he was three. And I went, how do you reach the pedals? And he just went and put blocks on them, as if it was a stupid question.
Or did you just say, I had a special kart made? Next question.
I had one, yes. No, fuck off. Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't a jaunty interviewee, I remember.
Oh, was he not?
No, pretty serious.
I prefer it if his name was the other way round.
Alonso Fernando.
Yeah, it just would sound a little bit more flamboyant and friendly.
Hello, I am Alonso Fernando.
Don't you think? Yeah, good, don't you think it sounds better?
Yeah. I've been amusing myself. Last week I was going around the house. Everyone else has been out, and I've just been... I sometimes just talk shit to myself while I'm cooking lunch or whatever. And for some reason last week, all week, I couldn't stop going, for centuries the conquistadors have discovered the secrets of soup, like a shit American advert from the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
For centuries, the conquistadors have wondered the secret of powerful Wi-Fi. And I don't even know what that means, the conquistadors. But it sounds like something you'd be in America and you put on the TV in a hotel room and there's an advert. Maybe it's got Ricardo Montalban in it or something.
You'd be drawn in.
Yeah. You go, what's he advertising? For centuries, the conquistadors wondered the secret of great tasting fruit juice. Mm. Now, is Five Alive?
Now, is for you in the store. For now, please.
Hola, I am Alonso Fernando. For centuries, the conquistadors have wondered the secret of my great-looking hair.
So this is it. This is it. This is what the 2022 Formula One needs. It needs all the drivers to switch their names around, and they're allowed to endorse a completely random product.
Hamilton Lewis is quite
Hamilton
a good name,
Lewis
though.
Would work. That works.
Although he's a very renowned Scottish barrister.
Hamilton Lewis.
He takes on some massive case where he like sues the government or something. Oh, hello, I'm Hamilton Lewis. I think you'll find statute C that in 1742 this was actually permitted. Wow, Hamilton Lewis, he's a great barrister.
He turns up in his C45 AMG. No, A45 AMG.
What, Hamilton Lewis?
Yeah.
No, Hamilton Lewis has got an old Jag XJ, I think.
No, he'd have to keep it Mercedes because of
contractually, you're talking about the racing driver.
Yeah, he's still going to have. So would it be a C class, just a sort of regular C class?
Well, what if they've got to swap their names around and then they keep all that? So he's got a C class or something, but they've got to take on one really shit sponsor.
He's
sponsored by like Spam or something like that.
What?
Or just
Brutes Bolts.
Bruce Bolts.
I'm not saying they're shit because I'm all wearing it now and I smell amazing. But
are you?
Yeah, I am wearing it now.
I put mine away. My wife was eyeing it as it sat on the side in our house and she went, what are you going to do with that? And I went, oh, I'll probably just give it away at a live show or something.
No,
she went,
you're not.
I'm going to put it in the cupboard then.
No, you're putting it on. You're going to throw it over your neck on a daily basis. That's what you're going to do. Go on, just rooster tail it over your clothes.
Well, I might next time I'm leaving the house, I might splash some on and see what happens.
If
I get attacked by crows, then that'll be the last time.
You went to the pub last night, right? What you see, come back from the pub when there's no one around, take all of your top layers off so it's just bare-chested with your trousers still on, stand in a full-length mirror, unscrew the top of the Brute Sport, and then diagonally sort of draw it down your body. You know, like that scene from Predator where he intentionally cuts himself.
I'm not going to do any of that because I'd worry that even though it'd be nighttime, one of my children would walk in, would wake up. What's Daddy doing? Oh, some kind of ritual, maybe? Bit weird. Going to tell Mummy about this, or maybe not. Don't want Mummy to leave Daddy.
Daddy's doing rituals with a bottle of aftershave. Yeah.
Also, the bathroom stinks. I might pass
do
on
it.
All of those things.
Just do it.
Anyway, hey, cars. Remember those?
Yes.
I got my new car.
Oh, did you now?
My e-up turned up. Yeah. It was really exciting. Turned up on a rainy day, which is just... it's one of those things where it's like, you can't control the weather, but I was really cursing it. My new car's wet. Yeah. They delivered it on an open truck as well.
So it was covered in
covered wagon. It was okay, actually. The delivery guy was a really nice chap, and he'd come down from Stockport near Manchester, and he told me that... he said, oh, we've got a new... Because he works for a company, and he said our boss decided to get us all little jet washers for the truck so that if the car is a bit mucky, when it's due to be delivered, we're told to give it a good...
Give it a blast.
Jet washing, just so that, you know, at least it's better just a bit wet than actually dirty.
Yeah.
And he said, I delivered a car to someone last week and it was dirty. So I stopped, I gave it a quick blasting, and then I delivered to the guy. The guy came out, he went, what's going on? My car's all wet. And he went, yeah, I've just cleaned it. The bloke went, oh, no. Went in his house, came back with a chamois leather, dry, and started trying to dry off the car with a dry chamois.
Dry chamois?
And the delivery guy was like going, no, stop. You've got to wet the chamois. And the bloke was like, I don't, what are you talking about? And this delivery guy was saying, oh, I used to be a valeter, so I do know about this stuff. And he's like, you've got to wet the chamois, otherwise it's not going to work and you're going to damage the paint. Sure enough, the guy went, oh, look, there's some scratches on this wing here. The delivery guy's like, yes, you just did them with your dry chamois. You might as well have gone in and got some sandpaper, you twat.
Well, yeah.
I don't think he said that, but...
If he'd gone inside and got, like, the lid of a Tupperware tub and then started working it up and down the body, working with his car, it'd be no more idiotic, would it?
I've just got this slice of stale toast and I'm going to rub it on the roof for a bit. I thought everyone knew you have to wear a chamois. Like, what the fuck?
Anyway, it's so stiff. I used to dry my chamois over the top of a kitchen cupboard door in the garage, an old kitchen cabinet. And, of course, it was always lowercase N shape because it had dried exactly. So you could, like...
A tiny tunnel.
Yeah, you could just... You could hit stuff. It's quite a stiff... I mean, I don't think chamois leathers are industry standard anymore. They are old school. Where have they all gone? In the world of upcycling and manufacturers trying to come up with new textiles in which to clothe car cabins and make them look interesting, could we offer a chamois collection service? I think that could be amazing.
I
like chamois leathers.
I was just suddenly imagining, though, that if you had talking of alternative textiles in cars, like Kvadrat, isn't it? That stuff that's in various Range Rovers.
Kvadrat!
It's in the new Lotus Election Night, isn't it, as well? It's quite a nice fabric. But if you made... If you made seats out of chamois leather, you'd have to constantly just moisten them to make them soft, otherwise they'd be really uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah, you've got to open the door in the morning, unscrew the cap of some spring water and just jazz it in there and then sit in.
Oh, now it's really supple and comfy, but unfortunately it looks like I've pissed myself.
Maybe you have to mould, yeah... When you first get the car, you have to go in for a seat moulding session, like a race car.
Yeah. Like a racing driver, yeah.
So you go in, they moisten the seat, you put a special pair of trousers on, probably just sort of PVC rockstar trousers, and then you sit in the car. They sit in the car and they go, right, you're going to have a really long drink now because you need to stay in there for a while we put a heater on in the car with you. And then it moulds to exactly what your butt cheeks are. I mean, of course, if you then share the car with somebody else, it's just tough. The first person to get their arse moulded wins, but, you know... It's the nature of the beast. We'll have to evolve the idea as we go.
What about chamois leather trousers? That's actually
If you're a cyclist, I think cycle shorts have stitched in chamois crotch sections, I think.
Oh.
They're padded.
Are they chamois?
I'm sure they're chamois. There's bound to be accomplished cyclists listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a chamois crotch section, which is definitely a John Peel session. Padded chamois cross section coming up after 10. Anyway, at the Hammersmith Apollo. I'm sure there is. But also, like, if chamois aren't really sold anymore and aren't really the sort of detailer's choice... Like, does that mean that nobody makes chamois anymore? I don't know. Or is there there are a couple of shipping containers full of them and nobody knows what to do with them? I think they'd be a very good interior fabric textiles and all that. You know what I mean? In fact, why don't you ask Alan Sugar? He'll know. He'll know what to repurpose them for off of business and commerce and all that. Richard, I gave you 11 containers off of chamois work weren't being used and that to repurpose and make money in commerce. What have you done off of the chamois?
I hate the way they sometimes just talk about business.
It's just all business.
They talk about business as a kind of nebulous entity that hovers in the sky. It's just the business. It's all about business.
It's all about the business.
Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. So I got my new car and it's lovely. Really chuffed with it.
Listen to you. Okay. Well, I'm really pleased about that. You got it in the rain.
I try not to talk to my children as if I'm a dad and tell them it was better in the old days or whatever. But I did just say chuffed about a new thing. So I have gone full dad.
You've
now
been struck off.
But yes, no, I'm delighted with the E-Up. It's everything that I wanted from it. It zizzes about in town in an excellent way. But it's also quite relaxing because it's an EV. So you've got that. It's a talk. It's lovely talk.
I've driven both of generations of E-Ups and all that. But I'm very keen to know what you could squeeze out of it range-wise. I know you're probably not buying it for a long-range EV. You're mostly urban-centric. However, I'd still be keen to see, because having driven the e-Golf with the same battery pack and squeezed as much range out of that over a year as possible, I kind of know. I feel like I know that drivetrain well, the battery pack well.
Did you typically drive your e-Golf in one of the eco modes?
I used to drive it in the eco mode when I was on a long journey, religiously.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, and usually heating either off or on the lowest kind of fan setting and then poo cooker on. That was my...
Does the e-Golf do this thing where when you get in and start it up afresh that the heating defaults to 22 degrees?
Do you know what? It used to do something like that. I don't know if it was 22, but it used to do a setting that I'd never set. And I got very irritated with it. And I think I never resolved it. I think I just used to moan about it every day, but not do anything about it.
Because I've noticed the E-Up does that every time, no matter what you've done with the temperature. When you get in and start it up, it goes 22 degrees. And you're like, no, I'm a bit warm, actually. So I
also, it's a waste of electricity.
Well, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I keep meaning to look into how to stop it doing that, or whether it's a characteristic. And if it is, why? Why would they do that? Because in the summer, that's going to be a nuisance.
There must be a way to overrun it. Maybe that's the factory default setting, which seems odd. Whose decision was that? But
yeah, I know.
Did you order yours with pump bum cookers?
Yeah, that comes with them.
Steering wheel? Can you get a steering wheel on yours or
toasty.
Not?
No
heated wheel.
But it does come. No heated wheel.
It's all right, I can knit you one out of a chamois leather. It'd be really nice.
Could you?
I'll make it very thick and quilted.
Just my steering wheel controls have stopped working because I keep having to wet the steering wheel. It's weirdly well equipped though, that car. It has got a heated windscreen, which is good.
That's excellent.
And it's got cruise control and it's got lane keep assist, which obviously you turn off because it's a bit intrusive.
Because it's
annoying.
It's
got bum cookers and... Bluetooth, it's all that. It's got everything you need on that side of things.
Has it got? Yeah, exactly. Has it got a hard drive for music? But it will only allow you to load up things like Scorpions, Whitesnake.
I haven't found that facility
Opus.
Yet. No.
No. Okay. I'm just asking.
It just reminded me of when I had a Mitsubishi Evo 10 long-term test car through Evo.
Yeah.
And that had one of those built-in hard disk things.
I love those.
And whenever you put a CD into the dashboard thing, this was many years ago, it would automatically ingest it into the hard drive unless you said otherwise.
Yeah.
But I never listened to CDs in that car because I think you could plug your phone or your iPod in. Only once did I put a CD into the player and it ingested it to the hard drive, and that car went back to Mitsubishi. That hardcore turbo nutter rally car was taken back to Mitsubishi with Alan Bennett reads the Winnie the Pooh stories ingested into its hard drive, which I always quite liked.
Really? That was the only CD? Yeah.
I was in the Top Gear office. We used to get all the newspapers every day, and I noticed that the Guardian, I think it was, or the Independent, had come that weekend, I think, with a free CD. Alan Bennett reads Winnie the Pooh. And I was like, I bloody love Alan Bennett, and I love Winnie the Pooh. I'm taking that. And I took it and I listened to it on the way home that night.
It's very odd.
And the car ingested it. It was lovely. I've said lovely now.
I had the same hard drive, and I can't remember how many gigs it was, but for its time, I think it was a lot. The Chevy Volt of mine had that.
Oh.
And when I realised it did that, I used to take great joy. Every week, I would put 20 CDs in the door pockets and in the cubbies, and I would just put the CDs in one at a time and let it drag it and drop. And because I saw that car only a couple of weeks ago when I went down to drop off that Tesla Y to the dealer who bought that Volt off me, he said, your music's all still in it. He said, it's amazing. We've got 9,000 songs.
Oh.
And he showed it to me, and I went, he went honestly, like, random's the best. When we're driving it around, we just press random. And I pressed random in front of him, and it brought up Dr. Dre, which was a little bit embarrassing. Because I was thinking, I wasn't expecting that to just emerge from there. It's not Dr. Dre's finest hour, I wouldn't say. But it was awkward. I quickly skipped to another random song, hoping that it wouldn't be quite as offensive. But I think I actually like that idea. I like that, especially if the car's a keeper. And when you lend it to someone, it's like having a jukebox, isn't it? But
I suppose so.
Without having to stream and all that, I'm not interested in streaming music. And now I sound like a right old dad.
Well, yes, you see, it is convenient, isn't it, in our busy world?
Yeah.
Because I remember getting my first iPod and then just sitting for hours burning CDs into my computer so I could then dump them onto the iPod.
Yeah.
And it was actually quite tedious.
Yeah, it was, but when it's done, it's done. It's a bit like, you know, it's like digging the footings for a house. It's laborious, but you only need to do it once, and then it's done. And it's really good. And you sit back and bask in the glory.
I feel like it's sort of not, because you don't. It's like digging the footings for a house and then going, oh, actually, I also wanted an extension here and one here and on here, because you can't do all your CDs in one go unless you've got a small CD collection. So you keep coming back to it and then going, oh, wait, oh, I haven't got that on my, you know. I love the fact. I was walking down the street the other day, and because we were talking about Roy Orbison last week.
No, Roy Orb and Son. Remember.
Roy Orb and Son. I've been listening to his version of I Drove All Night quite a lot because it's really good. But then I thought, I was walking the dog the other day, and I thought, I'm going to listen to his version, then I'm going to listen to the Cyndi Lauper version, and then I'm going to listen to the Celine Dion version.
Oh, Celine.
And make my mind up which is best. It's the Roy Orb and Son version. I'll tell you that now.
It's Roy Orb's and
Lauper's
Son.
One is all right, actually. Not the Celine Dion one is...
No, you're going to allow Celine other stuff, but not that particular track. Is that what you're saying?
What are you allowing her, though?
I don't know. All I remember is that the first time I ever went to Glasgow, she and I was working at a car event. She was in concert in the next hall that night, and basically when we were locking up to leave, we couldn't get out for people just in frenzy about going to a Celine Dion concert. And I had a curry very late because of that, and I was a bit annoyed with Celine. Obviously, she doesn't know this, but so that's why I think Think Twice. I remember Think Twice was number one in the charts for seemingly forever. There is one Celine Dion track that's good. I mean, obviously, the Titanic, Heart Will Go On spec. It's okay. It's better if it's when it's done on a recorder by an amateur, as I might have forwarded you. In fact, if you're a patron of this channel, I will put the shitty flute version. It brings tears to my eyes every time. It's hilarious. Highly recommend.
Have you not found, knowing you're a connoisseur of MIDI music, have you not found a MIDI version?
I think I have found a MIDI version, actually. Yeah. I think one of it was called My Ass Will Go On. It was amazing. It was amazing. Amazing.
Celine Dion slightly weirds me out. I don't know why. I think she looks to me like she smells strange.
And that's because she looks like something from the animal kingdom.
Yeah. She looks like she smells of antiseptic, and I can't explain why.
What?
I don't know.
Really?
Let's not dig into that, because I have nothing else to say. I just think she looks like she smells sort of plasticky. Not antiseptic, more like plasticky. She smells like she's got an odd aroma to her, and I think she's probably quite strange. And I hope I'm not speaking ill of her, because she could be lovely.
So she smells like the cleaning cupboard of a local hospital, is that what you're saying?
Yes, yes.
Or that's not what I was expecting
floor of
to
a
talk
care
about.
Home. No, me neither.
I
but then, you know.
I could imagine a montage of lots of shots of her, of clips of her from her music videos, but then being narrated by David Attenborough about why this very rare species is fascinating.
And why her distinctive call.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she's...
She is Canadian, though, and Canadians generally are sort of, I find, decent sorts. So yes, maybe she's all right. Although, isn't she French-Canadian?
She's French-Canadian, yeah.
Okay, which, that's a different thing.
Is it?
My limited experience of... We used to have family in Quebec. And,
oh, really?
Yeah, we used to have family all over Canada, but a branch of the family lived in, or some relatives used to live in Quebec, and it was it's an unusual place. They're so militantly French that they use French words even where the French don't. Like, they have arrêt written on their stop signs, where in France they just say stop, because that's sort of international.
Bloody hell, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're very, very keen on being French.
Oh, one thing that does weird me out about Celine Dion, and this is really not car-centric whatsoever, is I think her husband... is or was about twice her age, and looks like a baddie from Flash Gordon, from memory.
Yes, very, very beardy, and
I think eye makeup-y as well. Like a bit. I mean, I'm saying this with, I haven't done any research, and I do apologise if he's dead, but I
think he died, didn't he?
I think so.
Did she not stop recording or something, or
because of him?
I don't know.
Well, you're saying that she smells of hospital equipment.
she smells of a cheap dentist's operating room or theatre of what teeth, whatever they're called. Anyway, I don't know. I'm starting to feel guilty now for bad-mouthing Celine Dion, because she could be a wonderful person. She's certainly a good singer, technically speaking. There's no question of that.
Well, you know what? I've just typed Celine Dion into... Google, and there's immediately a video with Celine Dion's car collection brought up. I can't believe what I'm watching.
What's in it?
Celine Dion's car collection. It has an estimated net worth of $800 million. Wait, this can't be real.
Is that one of those tabloid things there where they just go, like, they go, police seized drugs with a street value of £47 billion. And you're like, isn't it just a bag of weed?
This can't, I don't believe this. I can't believe this is real.
What cars? Is it showing the cars?
Well, I mean, there's a list in the description. It's not loading very quickly, but there's a list in the description which says a 1995 Rolls Corniche, a Mercedes Maybach 62, a GMC...
These are all...
A GMC Yukon. Well, that's just run-of-the-mill toss.
These are all high-depreciation cars. I know. Dion's a terrible car buyer. What's she playing at? What,
a Bombardier BD700 Global Express. Isn't that a train?
Plane. That's a plane, isn't it?
Oh, OK. So, hang on. If they're roping the net worth of that in, suddenly she's got a load of tossy cars and a private plane.
Also, if she's buying like Maybachs and Corniches from that, is that like a 90s Corniche? She paid $800 million in total. They're now worth $47,000 in total.
Yeah, I think this is just completely made up. I will put the link in.
This is almost like that. There was a YouTube video which was entitled something like... James May's car collection, and the thumbnail was a picture of James looking like James, but then with some sort of stock images of Bugattis and things, and a woman in a bikini in front of a sort of Florida mansion. It was like that's
not James May.
That does not in any way depict James May's lifestyle.
That's amazing.
It's pretty special.
I know what I was going to say. I was going back through some old emails to Smith & Sniff, and we owe a chap an apology, I think, a chap called Bindu Cannings. And he actually messaged us. He's a Patreon as well. He messaged us back on the first day of 2022, New Year's Day.
Yeah.
And he said, right, guys, I've got a serious question. I currently own a 2000 Merc C320 Avant-Garde with 300,000 kilometres on it. I'm thinking of upgrading it to a C32 AMG that's a couple of years younger with a third of the kilometres. However, I'll probably spend an extra $14,000 making up the difference to upgrade. So the question is, do I go for it now, or do I get a little bit more cash together and put a deposit down on a Hyundai Ioniq 5? I fear... If I don't buy a petrol-powered AMG now, it will simply never make sense to buy another one again in my life. This was underlined. You must keep in mind I'm only 21 and I don't have heaps of money. However, I do have very little responsibilities at this point. Thanks in advance for any help. Okay, so I never replied to him. All right. I'm pretty sure we just completely forgot. So I'm very sorry to him, but he did. There was a pause for about 2 weeks, and then I realised. I went back through the emails, and he's gone. Also, I've just bought a 2005 C55 AMG as a result of your lack of reply. I'm going to be blaming you if it blows up on the 10-hour drive back from me picking it up. So that was on January the 14th. I don't... Bindu, I'm...
I have then engaged with Bindu.
Oh.
While you weren't looking on the Patreon, because I wanted to know if his C55 had exploded,
okay,
as predicted,
and
he wrote back and said the timing chain has become very loud, so I'm not driving it.
Well, he's not actually not just not driving it. He's just bought an AMG ornament.
His hometown is Lismore. He's in Australia, we should say.
Right.
And his mechanic is in his hometown of Lismore, which has got flooded in those recent floods in Australia. So he can't get it fixed. So he's just not driving. I don't know.
Bindu,
if you're listening, we need an update now. But because then he told me that instead his partner's got a Mazda 2. And we agreed the Mazda 2 is an underrated car.
The Mazda 2, yeah. Now, are we talking old Mazda 2? The one that looks very like a fridge on its side, like a Suzuki Wagon R?
I don't know, because I was thinking of the very sort of swoopy, more recent ones, either
which
the current
are good.
One or the last one, and they're good. They're really underrated, where you just go, why doesn't everyone have one of these? They're really nice, and it's a Mazda, so it probably won't go wrong, and it's nice to drive, and seems to be all sort of got
yeah.
what you need.
I think a Mazda is one of those cars which is resilient to a lack of maintenance or care. We know it's a given that Toyotas are pretty good at being ignored, but I think Mazdas are a strong choice for that. My videographer's got a Mazda 6 Estate, and whilst he's not a fast driver, I fear that it doesn't get looked after very well. It leads a hard life. It does a lot of long miles, and it's fine. It's absolutely fine, to the point where he's thinking of chipping in his second car, because him and his wife have got a car each. He's thinking of chipping in and getting another Mazda 6. So he's going to have a pair of Mazda 6s. Now, in previous podcasts,
we've talked about this.
We talk about his and hers matching pair of cars. And it seems to be quite common.
But he's given us some insight into how it might happen. Is you just like one of the cars.
You just
so
go,
much,
this is
you
all right.
To get another. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of all the other cars in the world, none suits me as much as this one, so I'm
no.
going to get another one. That's interesting.
It is uninteresting, isn't it?
Talking, now it's funny that we talk about the Mazda 2 here, or Bindu has led us to this point, because after I got my E-Up the other day, I was thinking, this is still a good little car, considering that it is actually quite old now as a design.
It is.
And I reminded myself of when it came out. The Up came out in 2011, so it's over 10 years old.
Yeah.
It's over 10 years since it was announced, anyway, and since the design was revealed. And that set me thinking. I was like, what is the oldest design that you can buy in this country at the moment?
Oh.
And I started looking.
That's
now,
a
the
good
Mazda
one.
2 is surprisingly old, because that was revealed in 2013, so that's coming up for 10 years old. But I was thinking, what else has been around for ages? And I'm, you know, so it's like where you can say, oh, it's had big facelifts and stuff like that, but the bones of the car are fundamentally the ones that were revealed. So the Renault Zoe is coming up for 10 years.
Oh, yeah, it's incredibly old. Yeah, it's been tech lifted inside. It's had obviously
the fundamental
a different battery
shell
pack.
The shape is the same.
I mean, like the facelift externally was so mild, you just can't tell. Unless somebody, like a tour guide, comes up to you and walks you round it and says, oh, yeah, these indicators are an inch longer than they were. You go, really, are they, though?
Renault employ men in black roll necks to sidle up to people who are looking at Zoes and go, hey, did you know this is the facelifted one? It's the Tesla Model S is another one.
Do you know what? You slag. I was just about to say Model S because, remember it launched with a faux grille on the front?
Yes.
And when I did my recent Tesla Y road trip off of Scotland and all that, I found one. I supercharged next to an old Model S, and then all the other models of Tesla appeared at this supercharger at the T-Bay services, which I know we've talked about in previous podcasts being very plentiful and pleasing. Mm. But apart from the Roadster, there were all of the Teslas available ever charging simultaneously.
Because it occurred to me when I was thinking about the Model S, and I was like, I remember when they facelifted it and got rid of that faux grill, and I remember thinking it looked a bit weird, whereas now, because they seem to be all you see, that's what a Model S looks like now, and it doesn't look weird anymore. But then I suddenly thought, where have all the ones with the faux grills gone? Because they seemed like you just don't see them around anymore.
Ben Fogrills, he walks around and talks about wildlife and outdoor living.
Wearing a gilet.
I tell you, do you know, the early Model S's with the faux grill, a lot of them, unless they've been bought back by Tesla as a Part X, a lot of those apparently still have free supercharging for life.
Oh, so basically, a lot of Teslas did though, didn't they? A lot of the bigger ones did they? When did they phase that out?
I can't remember, but all I know is an early car, if it hasn't gone back to Tesla where they will rewrite the software and ban you from having free charging, you can basically buy an older car, and the incentive is you get it's like me. Imagine me buying a secondhand car off you, and you going, oh, by the way, I'm going to give you petrol for life as long as you don't take it back to Tesla. You'd be like, this is brilliant. What an incredible incentive, especially right now.
Yeah.
What a great thing. I quite like the Model. The Model S is still my favourite Tesla, I think, really.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I haven't watched your Model Y video yet. I keep meaning to because I really want to see what you've got to say. So don't spoil it.
You stroker. You're absolutely stroker.
I'm a busy man.
I filmed myself on the toilet for that video in the name of consumer... research. I videoed myself on the toilet in a travel lodge. I did.
But you do that anyway, don't you?
I do, yeah. I do a daily.
For your OnlyFans account.
Yeah.
Going back to oldest designs you can buy new in this country. There's quite a few cars that are still on sale that are coming up to sort of like 8 or 9 years old. Smart 4.2. Although, again, you know, it's been sort of EV-ized now, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. What about the...
Jag XE, Land Rover Discovery Sport. They came out in 2014.
Fiesta? And what's the Fiesta doing?
No, Fiesta's more recent. Ford Echo Sport.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
I know we didn't get it straight away, but it was announced in 2012, so that's a 10-year-old design. The Mustang, the current Mustang, was announced in 2013, so that's actually older than
Was it really?
Yeah.
Gosh.
There's a new one not that far away, I believe. Lamborghini Aventador... announced in 2011, so that's getting on a bit. And I know, again, that's going to be replaced reasonably soon as well. So, but there is one car that is, as far as I can work out, ignoring like Caterhams and things like that, there's one kind of mainstream, you know, hatchbacky type car that has been around for donkeys.
I don't want you to tell me because I want to think of it myself, but I know I'm going through the Rolodex.
Your mental
in my
Rolodex
head now
are
going,
whirring around.
Alfa Romeo. Alfa Giulia. The other one.
Giulietta.
Giulietta.
Well, they've deleted it now.
Oh, cack. So thought they were still slaving it.
They've stopped making it. Oh, speaking of which, we should pour one out this week for the Ford Mondeo.
What?
Because
is it the official
death
this week?
They stopped making it. They made the last one on the 30th of March. So, week before last.
Should we give it a round of applause?
A little cricket clap.
Yeah.
The last Mondeo came out of the plant in Spain on the. Now there is a new Mondeo, but it's only being sold in China, so it's not for us. And
so it's dead.
The current shape Mondeo died on the 30th of March, and in you know
really quietly.
It's a shame.
And it's been a common sight on British roads since 92, was it? 93.
Yeah, 93, I guess.
So hang on. So yeah. So basically, it's had a 30-year innings.
Yes.
Gosh.
Yeah, near as damn it. And they've always been... Mondeo's one of those cars
where... They've always been bloody good. I've always
liked
them.
I always liked, if you were hiring a car and they gave you the keys to a Mondeo, you'd go, oh, good, okay, this is not going to be purgatory. And in fact, that happened to me. We went on a family holiday to Italy, so I'd asked for a sort of reasonably sized car because we've got kids and luggage and all sorts. And we got a Mondeo Estate. and it was absolutely delightful. And it was really well used for a hire car. It had, I think, like 30,000 kilometres on it or something. So it, and it felt absolutely bang on. It didn't feel knackered. It just felt good. It's a nice car to drive. Not, you know, not sort of super sharp and flamboyant. It was just solid,
rounded,
and pleasant. Yeah, rounded. That's the word.
Are we going to have a moment like when, I don't know, the front man of a band dies and then suddenly everyone realises how good that band was, even better than you thought? But because they've now passed away, you're just going to constantly mourn the loss of them. Is the Mondeo, does it deserve that? I think in a world of average crossovers and SUVs which aren't quite as spacious as people believe, just get a Mondeo estate. They're flipping in fact, you know, don't even need an estate, get the hatch because that's massive as well. I would love one. I'd like one. I said a lot about love. I would like one.
Yeah.
Steady on, Johnny. Don't be a tosser. Come on.
Yeah. In fact, stop the podcast. I'm going to buy one right now.
I just want to keep saying folds because we haven't said it yet, have we? Folds. Fold Mondeo.
And,
how do you say Mondeo?
So, Mondeo.
Fold.
Fold.
Mondeo. It's Mondeo. Mondeo.
Deo. Yeah, Deo. Deo.
It's Deo.
The Deo.
Deo.
Oi, Del. You got that Mondeo still?
Grab the Deo,
for centuries,
bring it round.
The conquistadors have searched the Mondeo looking for the secrets of medium-sized forts.
It's a good car. It's always been a good
car.
I'd like to say I have destroyed one, sadly, on launch. But we've already talked about that. But we don't need to tread that path again. But
well, anyway, may it rest in peace. It was a good car. I don't think there was ever a shit Mondeo. They were always pleasant to drive and just did everything that you'd want from a car. But unfortunately, it became unfashionable.
It did. But not deserve it. It didn't deserve that. And is it like the man from Del Monte, but it's man from Deo
Mondeo. Del Monte.
Mondeo-te.
Del Monte cars. Oh, sort you out the Mondeo, mate. No worries. Yeah, I've got one on the back lot at the moment, actually. Yeah, it's like mine. Yeah.
Hands up to any listeners who have a fond Mondeo moment. You can write to us if you
Mondeo
wish.
Mondeo moments.
Is that like a sort of love song corner?
Yeah.
We're going to go for a car ballad now, proudly supported by Mondeo by Folds.
Maybe that's how they should have tried to market it, just to make it seem a bit more glamorous. This is Mondeo by Folds. Folds.
Is it by Folds? Obviously apostrophe before and after the S.
Just to make
it a little bit
just to be on the safe side.
And look a little bit. Mondeo.
Do you want to guess at what I think is the oldest mainstream design still on sale?
I need to
Should
know
we make
this.
Listeners
I
guess,
need to know or, this.
Okay.
No. Well, you could, actually. I mean, people do like interaction, Richard. So you could leave them hanging.
We'll forget to read out the answers or something. Maybe I should just
give them the answer.
Fiat 500.
Oh.
Now, I know 2010? It's had a big facelift. 2007.
Seven. Shit.
It was announced. That's when it was announced, yes. So that is an old, old car. And I know it has been given a big facelift, but it is still fundamentally the shell was revealed in 2007. So, and in fact, before that, if you count the concept ones, yeah. Well, that's it. And I know there's now the 500e, which is a brand new car, but the petrol engined one to the old design carries on for now as well. So you can still go and buy one, and you've been able to buy one for the last 15 years. So it's pretty,
big up to Stellantis for that. Hit single.
There's nothing. There's not much else that comes close, really, in terms of age. Oh, the MG3 was announced in 2011, so that's quite old now. And you can, bizarrely, you can still buy that. Although I don't
know. No, you
really
can't.
Can
you?
I think so.
Do you know what? I bet Jason Plato's got about 17 of them that he just forgot about. They're all in his hedges around.
He treats them like disposable lighters. That wherever he goes on his property, there's just one left there, but he can never remember. When he wants one, he can never find one.
Yeah, he's suddenly like, oh, shit. Yeah, I was cutting the hedge the other day and suddenly I struck something metallic.
Tapping his pockets trying to find the keys to one of his MG3s. They gave me another four last time I won a race.
I want to say to Potato, obviously a friend of mine and also a colleague, he's just announced that this is his last season in British Touring Car.
I know.
And I hope he goes out there and he absolutely smashes it this year. Not literally. I don't necessarily. I mean, if you want to go for a flamboyant barrel roll to make people remember you, do it.
Yeah.
But I hope you do really well. And I'm making it sound like this is, you know, sort of going to be your death, but it's not. I hope you have a fantastic season. And you are one of the funniest men I've ever met. You really are. It's ridiculous how amusing you are. And also
and
how much
driving as well.
And how much of a
double
wrong-un.
Threat?
Yeah, because he's like in his 50s. He's a bit of a wronger, but behind the wheel, still podium material, right?
Yeah. Well, there we are. We wish you all the best with the conclusion of your touring car career, Jason. And whatever you do next, I'm sure it'll be. Sorry, I've got a small dog in the room with me. It just sneezed while I was trying to be sincere.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, my brother's dog's here, so she's a bit barky. So I brought her up here.
What's she called? Wastegate.
Wastegate. Yes, yeah, she is. She just so the boost just built up. She lifted off just as I was talking.
She did, didn't she? And just left a little kind of sneezy. Doesn't deliver the Just Eat orders around my area, does she, by any chance?
Why? Is that has someone got a boosty car that they do
Just Eat
deliveries
in? It's a BMW 3 Series diesel 320D, and it's high on the wastegate. He's just constantly coming off the throttle. Constantly, for the sake
of it.
Did somebody say just wastegate?
just wastegate. They rush aftermarket parts to you within the hour.
Honestly, this thing is sneezing constantly.
Oh, well, anyway, that's probably a good time to bring things to a close, but to say the best of luck to Jason, who I've met a few times through you and has always struck me as a very amusing man and as well as a very talented driver.
He's a hero, mate. He's a hero.
He's our fine hero. Now, before we go, I have three things to tell you. The first one is that Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. It's called Johnny Has a Poo, and each week he defecates in a different reasonably priced hotel and then talks to the camera while he does it. If that's not your thing, fair enough. He's also got The Late Break Show, which has got lots of excellent car reviews on it, including a long-distance trial of the Tesla Model Y, which I will go and watch out of guilt as soon as we finish doing this.
I was going to say, do that. And actually, if you're by the time listeners are listening to this, there'll be a very interesting lightest 911 in the world feature and hopefully a half-decent review of the Alpine A110S on that side
Ooh.
Of things.
Yeah. Fancy. Second thing I've got to tell you is I've got various books out. One of them is called And On That Bombshell, which is about my time working on the Top Gear TV show from its reinvention in 2002 up until it all went wrong in 2015. It's available in bookshops and on Amazon and probably in lots of charity shops by now as well. So if you don't want me to get any money out of it, then please do go to your local Oxfam and give them your money instead. And the third thing I've got to tell you is we've been talking this week and last week about I Drove All Night by Roy Orbison.
Off of Roy Orbison.
And Cyndi Lauper and the strange-smelling Celine Dion. Did you know, though, that I Drove All Night was written by the same songwriting pair as Like a Virgin by Madonna?
Really?
Yeah. Tom Kelly and Billy Steinberg are the songwriters. They also wrote True Colours for Cyndi Lauper, Eternal Flame, So Emotional, and they co-wrote I Touch Myself by the Divinyls, if you remember that.
I do remember I Touch Myself. Yeah, that sounds wrong, but anyway.
But it's bizarre. That song doesn't sort of sit with Eternal Flame and True Colours and things. The other song they wrote, which I know is a favourite of both of ours, is Alone by Heart.
It's a tune.
Which they recorded themselves, and they recorded and released that as a pair themselves, and then gave it to Heart, who made it really good.
They properly VTEC'd it, as we've discussed previously.
Yes.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so cool.
Good songwriters.
Yeah, that's a good suite of hits, that.
Yeah. They actually, we were talking about this on Twitter last week, where I was, because I was, someone asked for supplemental information, because I drove all night.
Because you were really busy, but you got
I was really busy. That's the thing. It's the worst time for someone to go, sorry, Rich, can I just ask you some completely irrelevant trivia about an old song that Roy Orbison sang? And I'll go, well, I have got 9 deadlines on my head. Of course, I'll give up the rest of my afternoon to do that, because I am a fuckwit. And I Drove All Night was written by Kelly and Steinberg to... They wanted to sound like Roy Orbison, but they didn't ever think he'd record it. But he was out of contract and very unfashionable at that point, and they approached him and got him to do a demo, and he did it. And they were quoted as saying, there's that bit where he goes, uh-huh, yeah, and they they wrote that almost as like a parody of Roy Orbison, and then when he did it so well that it sounded brilliant and not like he was, you know, sort of self-referencing. And when that hit was released posthumously, those were the demo vocals they used because Orbison had died by then. And it's an unbelievably good vocal. It's just like, that's how good Roy Orbison was.
Oh, I've got cramp. I've got cramp in my legs. I'm going to have to change position. I'm really sorry, everybody. Ow. Oh, it really hurts. Oh, gosh. I get cramp
Smith
too much.
Smith and Sniff, leaving in the bits others cut out. And if you enjoy that kind of thing, well, take a long, hard look at yourself. But if you've done that and you're still coming back for more, we'll be here next week. Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you. I'm doing the plank while I sign off. Oh. I genuinely am. It hurts so much.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.